Hello, it's Tuesday night. This is the fourth day of our trip, and I wanted to tell you a little bit about our day. We woke up in Phoenix, and after breakfast, we got in the trucks and we drove down towards Tucson, which is in the southern part of the state. And on the way, we stopped off to see a really interesting project that the Tucson Water Authority is working on. Basically, the problem is that people have been pumping out a lot of groundwater. That's water from under the ground to use in their homes and their gardens and golf courses and so on and so forth. So the groundwater has been getting depleted. The water table, that is the height where the depth where the water is below the surface, is getting lower and lower and lower as they're sucking up more and more and more of it. So they want to restore that. And what they're doing is, remember I told you yesterday about all of that water that's coming from the Colorado River and coming across the state in these open canals? Well, they're taking that water. And they have these enormous basins, sandy basins, acres and acres of them. And every now and then, what they do is they take that Colorado River water and they pour it through these enormous pipes and pump it on top of the sand and these sandy basins. And it sinks down and sinks down and sinks down and it percolates down and eventually it gets down to the groundwater and joins the groundwater. And so it's like they're refilling, it's like they have this huge reservoir of water underground. And they're refilling it with water from the Colorado River. So it's like we've seen an artificial branch of the Colorado River come over to Tucson and get poured into the ground to become part of this huge storage. And we got to see those basins and talk to some people who work there, and really interesting. And it's an unusual way to think about using water. Then we drove into Tucson and we saw another project. One of the ways they're trying to save water is that for things like golf courses and lawns and parks, instead of using fresh water, they're trying to use reclaimed water. That is water that would otherwise go into the sewer. So they take water that would otherwise go into the sewer, like, water from your washing machines and sinks and like that, and they want to purify it. And what they're doing is they're building artificial wetlands, artificial swamps, into which they can pour this water. And the plants that grow in the swamps will take out a lot of the chemicals that you don't want in your water. And they'll help purify the water. And then they can pump the water out of those wetlands and use them for golf courses and parks and things. But in the meantime, they also have created these beautiful wetlands. And they're like swamps with lakes and ponds and bulrushes. And there's ducks and there's hawks and there's turtles and all kinds of other birds. And it's this nice little watery park area. It's kind of a little bit like in the woods in Newton, except it's not woodsy so much. There's some trees, but it's like meadows and swamp with bulrushes, and it's like a little lake. And that was very nice. So let me play you just a little bit of what it sounds like to be there, just a little bit of that bird song. It's nice, isn't it? And in fact, a lot of birders come to watch the birds there. And some of the Terrascopers went ahead and interviewed some of the birders and asked them what they think about water and water conservation and so on. And here's an example of what one of the birding people said.
Do you do a lot to conserve water personally?
I'm sort of fanatical about it.
Like what?
Well, we both use the same bath water, and then I bail the water out of the tub and water what plants we have with it. And then the laundry water I pump into a big trash can, and I take that water and water plants with it.
Okay.
And I don't use any more water to do dishes. I don't use dishwashers or anything like that. And
okay.
So I'm pretty fanatical about it,
okay.
More than most people.
So that was very interesting, we thought. From there, we went south from Tucson to visit an enormous copper mine. And it's an open pit mine, so they have dug this huge, impossibly huge hole. And they take the rock and they crush it and they grind it and they powder it and they do all kinds of things with it to get the copper out of it. And one of the things they do involves using an awful lot of water. They take the copper, which is bound up in a sort of a chemical form, and they spray it into the powder. They spray it into water that has a kind of a solvent in it. And it forms these soap bubbles. Basically, the solvent is like a pine oil soap, and it forms these soap bubbles. And the particles containing copper stick to the outside of the soap bubbles. So what you see when you look at this tank is you see all kinds of this surface covered with bubbles, and the bubbles are all a little bit shiny, sort of a bronzy gold shiny. And they skim off the top, which is where the bubbles are, and they pop the bubbles. And the particles containing copper come out of the popped bubbles, and they kind of sink to the bottom, and they separate them out, and they ship them out to be refined further. But that's one way that they separate the copper from the rest of the material. So again, they're using water that was sent halfway across the state from the Colorado River. So this is sort of another artificial branch of the Colorado River running into this copper mine and helping them purify this copper. They also use a lot of water for spraying on the roads to make them so they're not so dusty and things like that. And after the copper mine, we came and checked into a hotel, and then we went out and had a lovely, lovely dinner. And by the end of our dinner, it was just us, you know, the 30 of us at these two long tables, and a group over in the corner at a booth. And we noticed that someone was coming out of the kitchen with a birthday cake with candles in it. And I was thinking, who in our group has a birthday? I don't think it's anybody's birthday in our group. And the person carrying the cake went over towards the little booth. And as soon as we saw that, both of our tables started singing Happy Birthday. But the thing is, we sang Happy Birthday at different times. One table started, and then when that table was about a verse into it, the other table started. So I'm going to play a little bit of the sound of that, and you'll see what it sounds like. It's very strange to have Happy Birthday sung kind of like a round, but at least you can see the enthusiasm and fun that we were all having. And I think I'm going to call it quits for tonight. Good night.